catharsis, it's cost all of this stuff, but I don't know if it's for the book. But it's again, once you see this consciousness at the center of the cosmos, and things look very different actually. So you've got this thing, you know, the gods. I see how they built these pyramids and the different monuments for the rain god and the sun god and so on, right? Which is quite natural, because the rain and the sun, they are the source of your life. If you don't get sun, if you don't get rain, you die. You starve. Nothing grows. So then, yes, then they build monuments. They make sacrifices to those gods. We find that all over the world. Now, what is this that they do then? What was it? I mean, what is that, just superstition, imagining that some, what is really a force in nature, is some kind of person that you can please and pray to and offer to and even bribe to be kind to you or be devoted to? Yes, you find that in the Bhagavad Gita. Exactly that described, that that's how people do it. So it's there also in that culture. So that seems to have been and still be in some parts of the world, I guess, central in the society. Now, for a modern materialistic civilization, that may sound superstitious and, you know, constructed, because again they start with the presumption that the world is essentially non-living. It's physical, chemical elements, right? And how can you pray to and offer to those? I mean, the rain, we know what that is. Just condensed water. And the sun is just some, you know, ball of fire out there. But if you switch over to the consciousness and centered cosmology, the living cosmos, if you look at the world that way, how does it look? Well then, let's just stay with the quantum physicists. The whole cosmos seems to be described as a big mind. And in my understanding, at least, and you know why? Because there is intelligence. All signs of intelligence, because there is an information structure, and there is consciousness, which is a symptom of intelligence. Consciousness includes intelligence as a property, so to speak, feature. So and everything, I mean the way things look at, as I mentioned before, it's not only an engineering feat, far beyond our comprehension, but also artistic. Creation. In the artistic and technical sense. These living structures that we call our bodies, we can see them as machines because, well, we have invented something we call machines, but also as, I think, better seeing them as countries, cities, little microcosms, housing plenty of life, because that's what it is. So down there in the small, there is life, and then up there is life too. It's not that life ends with us up here. We are pretty small. But all evidence points to there must be bigger, more powerful, and infinitely more intelligent life than us. Just look at around you and you'll see the evidence. The idea is that this all came about by itself, by some random mixture of elements. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's all just popped up out of nowhere, from nothing, without any cause or anything. Give me a break. I mean, we need to get serious here. Big Bang believers, if you then try to explain nothingness in with a whole blackboard filled with formulas, then it's a pretty complicated nothingness. Anyway, let me get back to where I started. So then we have these people. I'm tired, so I'm just gliding away here. Time to go to bed. These people of the old days then, living in that living cosmos. They can see that, you know, the rain, how the clouds are flying around here and there. Covering the sun sometimes. Sometimes allowing the sun to shine, and they should come just right balance there. How that higher order also rests in a mind. Yes, I mean, fantastic mind. And we should probably not even try to imagine or understand. Oh, how can a mind affect the weather? But you know, synchronicity and microcosm and mind of God versus mind of us little limited beings, who are actually quite remarkable. We'll see what some minds can do. So it shouldn't be that hard. Well, at least you could definitely build, if you want to stay within this modern scientific framework, you could probably very well build a cosmos from that. And there you have, you know, the original, highest, original, how said that, cosmic mind of God. But then all these devas, I mean, they have that also in every old culture, the gods, the, who are in India called demigods, because they are like people like you and me, but you know, parts of God, but more powerful race, so to speak, who have more powerful and higher ruler positions, administrative positions in this world. Well, I mean, why not? Because that's how our world looks like. There are people behind everything. The workings of the trains and the roads and the building you live in. There are living people behind there making sure it all works, that you get your hot water and that you get your electricity and so on and so forth. And some people may not even be aware of that, and they think it all comes on its own, or mechanically or automatically or whatever. And of course those people, engineers and technicians, they use technology and machineries, but they have to be there also and manage it. So it's a personal thing there too. So we just need to extend that, extrapolate, whatever you want to call it, to the higher technology, if we want to use that word, which is definitely visible here. It has to be designed and upheld by some intelligence. And if someone says, oh, now it's like laws of nature. Yeah, but those laws of nature are also pretty intelligently set up. So we need to, with modern people, free ourselves from that conditioning of materialism, materialistic thinking, meaning that kind of narrative that we have down there in our, in the depth of us, of what this world is. And I mean, we have an image of what the world is that we find ourselves in, which is very much an inner image that can be very different from different people, between different people. So we need to question that and look at it. Does it make sense? And it doesn't make sense that all of this just popped out from nothing, and just by, and then from chance, without no higher order or background intelligence or anything, laws appeared, and then elementary particles appeared, or like extremely complex electromagnetic structures, and where did that come from? And I mean, it's like, and then all this made us and life and consciousness and intelligence, and I mean, it's just ridiculous. We have to wake up from this and question. Those people also sit there now in high positions in the academic world and demand to be our teachers. We have to question them too, okay? Because some of them are, they shouldn't really sit there. At least there should be a healthy debate, which there is. So that has changed a lot, and it will change even more. Anyway, good night.